Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning and happy Halloween. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and my mission each week and each episode is to bring you the most interesting entrepreneurs and business people that I can locate. And these are people who are excited to freely share their business wisdom, their tips, and their actionable advice with us each week. And they also share their stories, where they came from, how they made the trip to where they are right now. Fascinating stories for the most part. So today I get to welcome to the program Holly Homer, and she is the founder of Kids Activities Blog. She has been a blogger since 2007. That's kind of the dark ages, isn't it?
Because we it was pretty early.
I know. We really didn't have all of the WordPress that we have right now. We didn't have much in the way of GUI, graphical user interface. What we do now looks like magic, but it's not. But back in 2007, we were just kind of starting this whole blogging thing, so I can't wait to hear that story. But it started as a substitution for her really expensive scrapbooking habit, and then turned into a full-time job that she now just adores. And her early blog posts, I can do this, from, get this, June Cleaver Nirvana. I love it, live in the archives at Kids Activities Blog. And some of her old favorites are beaver trapping, low-flow toilets, buying an eBay replacement teddy, and a little boy who calls her mommy. And Holly is, thank goodness, like me, a bit social media obsessed, so we're going to have a great conversation today. She loves teaching what she has learned both at the Business to Blogger blog and her YouTube channel. And she speaks across the country. She speaks at conferences on blogging and social media topics all over the place. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. It's all in the show notes. But trust me, she is getting out there and she's getting heard. So pay attention to that. She's also been featured on multiple radio interviews, TV appearances, and podcasts. And one of her favorite podcasts, and now mine, was about Kids Activities Blog Facebook pages, Rapid Organic Growth. And that was with Michael, Snelzer. You're going to have to help me on that one. S-T-E-L-Z-N-E-R. Anyway, Social Media Examiner. We all know Social Media Examiner. So anyway, Holly, good morning, and I'm so glad you're here today. I'm going to pick your brain, just so you know. It is Halloween, so your brain should
wonderful.
Be mind-pick, right?
I'm so excited to be here today, and, it's such a crazy world we live in, and it's just amazing, so it's just fun to talk about it.
I know. I mean, you started out as a blogger, like I said, back in 2007. That was, it doesn't seem like it should be, but it really kind of was the dawn of, I don't know, it's like a new millennium almost. It was the dawn of the new age because we just did not have, like I'm a web developer and a virtual assistant, mm-hmm. and I remember building, we didn't blog in 2000
right.
when I started, when I got my handy-dandy computer science degree and went, now what? We didn't have graphical user interface. We got to build websites that had a light background or a dark background and light text
mm-hmm.
or dark text. That was it. But we were good. We knew what we were doing.
It was about the content.
Right. And, of course, today we live in a visual world, so that wouldn't fly anymore. But I was so proud of my first blue and white website. I can't even tell you.
And
now
and
I look at it and go,
oh. Well,
so tell
really
us about
funny.
You. How did you get started?
Yeah, like, it was crazy because I had never read a blog. I didn't know what they were. And one of my friends from college, she had lived across the country. I hadn't seen her in 20 years almost. And we had kind of started emailing back and forth every Saturday. And, like, these really long, you know, kind of those long emails that you'd sit down, and we called it our Saturday morning coffee chats, and we just emailed back and forth these just long things about what was happening, and she was raising boys, I was raising boys, you know, so we had a lot of things in common. And about a year into it, she said, you know, I'm kind of doing a similar thing with another girl, and why don't we all start blogs, and then we can read each other's blogs? And I'm like, I don't know what that means, but just tell me what to do.
What the heck is a blog?
Yeah, go to Blogspot. You know, just fill out the stuff and be, you know, just push published, and you'll have a blog. And so I went out and I filled in that empty space with June Cleaver Nirvana, because I just really felt like, you know, I was a stay-at-home mom. You know, we lived this traditional life, but it didn't seem so traditional in, you know, in 2006. So it was just really fun, and really, like, I literally had no idea that other people did this. And so it was about 3 weeks into it, you know, and I was, you know, my grandma and my mom and my great aunt all read. And so, like, I posted a picture of the boys and, you know, and just talk about, it was really just what we did the day. I mean, just really, you know, basic, boring stuff. And
about 3 weeks Christmas. Your annual Christmas
yes,
card,
but
every day.
It was my Christmas letter, except
right.
that it was even more dull because it wasn't condensed like that.
Oh.
So it was really funny because about 3 weeks in, I got my first comment. And I'm like, what? Like, other people read? I mean, like, what's that? And so I clicked on her link and realized she had a blog. And then there's a blog roll on her sidebar. And, you know, like, all of a sudden, the whole world opens up to me.
Right. And what you thought was private actually wasn't.
No, and then I found, and, you know, at this time I'm, like, raising little kids. I have a toddler and a baby. And so it was a magical place because all of a sudden from my, you know, my kitchen table, I could connect with all these other moms that were in similar situations. And, you know, that was, like, back when you'd leave comments on your favorite 100 blogs every day. And so, you know, that was really kind of my social outlet and really kept me sane those first, you know, years or two when I wasn't really working on the creativity of the blog, just kind of a habit. And I wasn't a writer. So, you know, it was just writing every day was a really, really therapeutic as well.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, I guess it can be very isolating to be at home with kids and, you know, all the things that you go through, unless you have this just massive social life. And I can't imagine that you would have with small children.
You don't have time or energy.
That's what I would think. I'm kind of questioning it because I don't know. But
yeah.
So all of a sudden you find yourself with not only an audience, but you're making friends and you're networking in a way that you had no idea was even possible.
No, I mean, it was crazy because I had no idea that it was there. And, you know, I had started this for such a different reason. And then all of a sudden, you know, it was meant to be. It's just one of those things. I do believe everything happens for a reason. And all of a sudden, you know, I have a whole support group, you know, that can that you can, you know, check by at 2 a.m. in the morning, you know, if the baby's awake or, you know. And I was, prior to that, I had been, you know, intense professional running. I was a physical therapist, as a manager running clinics and, you know, with a 70-hour-a-week job. And so, like, the change from that to what I was then doing was significant. And what I missed the most was, like, the adult conversation and just the, you know, the fellowship that you have in a workplace and that kind of thing.
Well, I would think so. So how did you communicate with people? Was it just through the blogging or did you, I guess I'm interested in your journey before we go too deep into kind of technical stuff. Because
yeah.
I know you've said that you did it for free for quite a number of years and all of a sudden you stumbled on a way to actually make money with it. And I definitely want to get into that. But I guess what I would like to know is just kind of the networking that you did in the very early days that, you know, how it kind of assisted you in your personal life, how it, you know, how you helped other people, because it is very much a networking, even though you may not identify it as that's mm-hmm. what you're doing, but you're literally leaving your home and you're reaching out to all kinds of people all over the world. And that has to have an impact on how you live your life.
It really did. And, you know, at first you're just sharing and, you know, leaving comments. And you know, this was before Facebook, before Twitter. And so we were leaving comments on each other's blogs. You know, that conversation would happen in those comments underneath each post. And, you know, like you'd start the conversation on her blog, and then she would visit yours and finish, you know what I mean? It was like you checked in with your people every day, and you communicated that way. I mean, those old blog posts had, you know, have 100, 200, 300 comments on them, which is unheard of in today's world.
I know. People would kill to get that kind of engagement. I mean, seriously.
I don't even have comments on my blog anymore. I mean, it's really funny. It's just changed completely with social media. But that was really how we communicated and how we networked. And then, you know, like a few people you'd start like exchange. And a lot of it was very anonymous back then. So we didn't necessarily know people's last names or, you know, or their, I mean, I wrote under Texas Holly, so people didn't necessarily know me as Holly Homer. And so like a few people you'd start emailing, and then, you know, and a few people you might like give your phone number to. And those are like those special people that, you know, because back then there weren't like, you know, 100 blogs on how to blog. You know, if you were going to make a blog button for your sidebar, you called your friend who had just put one up successfully and asked her how she did it. And so it really, like, those early how to do this, what, you know, what's a plugin, what do I need to move to WordPress, you know, all those type of things that are now just, you know, really, really easy to get your hands on that information. That was, you know, the early days. They just didn't have that. You know, you got that from your blog buddies, and that was really, mm-hmm. really one of the things. And you couldn't talk about blogging in your real life because nobody understood it or even got it or even heard of it at that point. So the only outlet you had for that kind of information was your online friends.
Like, I remember those days. I do. I was trying to explain to my mom what a blog was. Now, this was, oh, God, 2007. I don't think she understands it to this day. You know, I gave up. You know, there just comes a point where you just say, you know, I'm just sharing stuff online. Oh, okay, that's it. That's it. But,
right.
But it has changed. It's changed so much. And there came a point. When did you notice that it changed really rapidly? I mean, all of a sudden these tools, I think it was with the advent of WordPress.
Yeah,
but
and
I think that's when things really opened up.
I believe so. And I, you know, I was really happy on Blogger, you know, because it's mm-hmm. easy and I'm not a technical person. I mean, like, before all this, like, my husband had to help me download my email. I mean, that's what's so funny about that. Like, people just assume I'm, like, some tech wizard. I'm like, no, like, not at all. Like, everything I've learned the hard way. You know, I've done it wrong 3 times first. But so, you know, that was really interesting. And through blogging, I met a girl that was local here. Her name is Shauna Callahan, and she's a blog designer, and we've been best friends for years and years and years. And so one Christmas, she moved me to WordPress for my Christmas present without telling me, because I was like, I don't want to go to WordPress. That sounds scary. And so she did it for me, and I'm so glad she did, because it really did. It allows you to really make it your home. I mean, and just, you know, make it so it's your place, and it's exactly how you want it to be.
It really does. And for those of you who are listening to us who don't really understand how WordPress works, we're not talking about WordPress.com. We're talking about buying your own domain, getting your domain name, go to GoDaddy or somewhere place like that. Get hosting, not at GoDaddy. Go to Bluehost or HostGator. Or so, yeah, that's a whole nother show. But truthfully, as a WordPress developer, I will not create a WordPress site on GoDaddy hosting. I just won't do it. But anyway, get back to the point here. Get your domain name, get your hosting, and then self-host your blog because you mm-hmm. own it. If you go to WordPress.com, unfortunately, they own your content. And if you just accidentally step on a toe or do something wrong, they own your content. You can't get it back. So it's just best to do your own thing. Plus, with WordPress.org, doing it by your own hosting, you have unlimited things that you can do to it. It's amazing with all the plugins and the widgets. I mean, you can really make magic with it.
Mm-hmm, you really can. And that's really what I've loved about blogging is that it's my space. It's like my home. And you know, it doesn't cost a lot, or, you know, even on Blogger it was free. But yet I could create something special to me that's unlike anything else in the world. And even today with millions and millions of blogs out there, they're not alike. There's no two alike.
No, they're not. So when did you start noticing along your journey when you're blogging with friends and family and people that you've just kind of met by happenstance, when did you kind of figure out that you could actually make money out of it?
Well, it was really crazy because I'm a super low-maintenance girl, and so one of the challenges I had had in, like, I live in the Dallas area, and a lot of girls around Dallas are higher maintenance than I am, and so a lot of, I live in
the
suburbs.
That's the big hair area, right?
Yeah.
Every time I go to Dallas, I'm looking at hair going, wow. You know?
And I have big hair by default, like, by genetics, but, like, I don't necessarily want big hair, but...
I do too, but I you know, tie it in a ponytail, or I find a way to manage it because it's horrible.
So I had been to a lot of salons here in town. Like, I won't even tell you how many, like probably all of them. And I always felt super stupid, like in the hair salon. And, you know, they asked me questions I didn't understand. Like, I needed highlights, but I didn't understand partial full. Do I need hair? I don't know. Like, I just would say, just do whatever you think I need to have happen. And, you know, I think they didn't know what to do with that. Like, bless their hearts. They're not used to that around here. So I went to a brand new salon I had run into at a charity event they had sponsored. And so I had gone, and it was a local salon that was just opened up. Its name is Splurge. It's in Highland Village, Texas, if you're around here. And I had just an amazing experience. I literally went in. I said, I don't know, just make me look pretty, you know. And they had computers there. Like, I could get online, like, while I was, you know, processing or whatever they had done to my hair, you know. And, you know, that was pretty unheard of back then. And so, like, it just was a match made in heaven. And so I went back to my blog and just wrote about it. And I said, you know, I can't believe, like, you know, and I love the way they had decorated it. So I wrote about, like, the tile they had used and just how I felt really comfortable. And it was, you know, I finally felt at home in a salon kind of thing. It was just kind of a silly story. All my stuff was just real. I always felt like I blogged about nothing. And so I went back in, you know, for my next visit, you know, 6 weeks later, and the owner came out. Her name is Lori, and she said, I'd like to buy advertising on your blog. And I just laughed at her. I said, I don't think anybody in Dallas, like, reads it. And she said, no, they say they do. We had 3 people come in and mention it to us in the last few weeks. And I was like, what? And so she's a really savvy business lady, and she, one of my mentors, and her point was, you know, you should start a local site, because, you know, we businesses like me need a local place to advertise. And so that sent me on a whole another journey of a website that I ran for several years called She Is Dallas. And so I really, you know, kind of explored the business side of blogging through that platform, because it was in the early days of online advertising for small business. So I spent a lot of my time just educating people why they would even want, you know, like, what I was and what they want, you know, why they would want to advertise with me for a fraction of the cost of a magazine that somebody would throw away immediately. And so it was, you know, kind of learning through trial and a lot of error, just to figure out, like, what this was worth to people, and was that worth it to me. And eventually, I just felt like I was too early in that game for She Is Dallas, and so that content now lays in Kids Activities Blog as well. It's just one of those things that, like, I could make some money at it, but it wasn't my dream. It wasn't something that was going to, like, life changing.
Right, and these days, you almost have to prove impressions. When people want to advertise on your site, they ask a lot of questions. How many impressions? Do you have a newsletter? It's almost not worth it sometimes.
Well,
I find
think
that's
about
a personal opinion.
Yeah, but, like, you think about it, it's even more difficult for a local site, because they can. I was really trying to be careful to only count my local impressions, because that's what my local advertisers would want. And you think about that, even in a large city like this, that's a very small potential number compared to like the worldwide site that I run right now.
Right.
But it's the same amount of work,
right,
or more.
Right. Seems like it would be more work, to tell you the truth.
But I needed to learn that. Like, I had to learn that the hard way. I don't do things easy.
Oh, listen, we're going to get along just fine, because I break, rinse, and repeat. I do.
Yes, there you go.
I don't want you to tell me how to do it, right? Don't tell me anything. Get out of my way. Let me break it. I'll put it back together. If I can't put it back together, then we can talk. But get out of the way. I need to do this. We used to drive my instructors crazy. It's like, we're just going to show you. No, go away. Okay, so, that works for some people. So maybe not. So how did you, you started getting advertising on there, mm-hmm. and you really had a readership. So how did you kind of figure out over time what your readership was? Because it looks to me like this was just one of those happenstance things. It was meant to, maybe serendipity, but it kind of took off, had a life on its own. And then I'm guessing that you all of a sudden woke up one day and went, I have an audience.
Yeah,
hot dog,
that's
now what
really,
do I do?
That really happened to me on June Cleaver Nirvana, the most startlingly, is that, I was just talking about my life with my kids, just silly stuff. And then... I started getting emails from companies like, hey, we want you to write about our product, or we want, I read your blog post about this, have you thought about that, and that was just new, we all thought we were just talking to each other. We didn't know that companies, businesses, PR was taking notice of what was happening online. And, so often, 99% of those were just completely mismatched to mm-hmm. what I was doing, because I wasn't, I was talking about me, and there's no products about me, So,
right.
But it was something that, some other bloggers that may talk, I don't cook, so I don't have recipes, or, but my, fellow bloggers, they were starting to take some of those opportunities. And, even if it was, a box of rice or something, it was more than we were getting before. And so it was really interesting. Those early years was just, it's still the Wild West out there, but mm-hmm. those early years was even more, so undefined. Nobody knew, we didn't even know what we had, let alone trying to explain that to somebody else. And so just those contacts of kind of being in that mom blog space and people seeing me as all of a sudden as a mom, a mom that people would be looking, looking up to, but it wasn't,
right.
And it's not ever been about celebrity with bloggers. It's more like, I really feel like now today people understand it better, because those Facebook friends that you have that you may have met once, or as a friend of a friend, that's how bloggers mm-hmm. are. We feel we're just 1 degree separation from your real life friends. And it's more like that than, a celebrity or somebody you'd watch on TV,
right.
or something like that.
Right. Well, and you mentioned something that I wanted to get to too, which is that term mommy blogger. It's that, when did that kind of start popping up? Because I noticed it probably 4 or 5 years ago. I thought, well, that's an interesting niche. How does that look? So I went and looked at it, and I'm fascinated by it because, let's face it, these are real-life experiences. You guys are raising your children. You're homemakers. Some people are working.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing the whole female thing. It's a fascinating area, and it just makes sense to have a term called mommy bloggers. But how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I've always embraced it just because, quite honestly, it's worked for me, and even though I run several companies from my living room now, that's what people will still call me, which is kind of funny because no one else seems to be known by their profession, but a mom blogger is there's a lot of facets to a lot of us, but I know a lot of women in the blogging space just detest it because of that, because they're like, my blog's not even about my children. Just because I have children doesn't make me a mommy blogger. But I think it's become one of those overused words that could move on but for me, it's, I'm cool with it because, I do write about kids. I write about,
right.
not necessarily mine anymore, but I would write about other people's kids or things you can do with your kids. So I get that. And I know that that's a label that people can find me through. So I certainly have embraced it, SEO-wise and that kind of thing, just because because it's a way for me to reach the people who are looking for me.
And that was where I was going, because SEO, it's very important for that, because it's a well-known term. Like, I have the same argument with the term virtual assistants.
Yes.
I'm a virtual assistant industry expert. My teeth still snap together when I have to say virtual assistant.
<'Cause there's laughs>
and
so
I always want.
I know, like, I get it. Like, but on the other hand, at least when people are looking for that, they find you. And that, I think that's where
right.
we have to be, like, you know, I don't know, take a deep breath and just look at the big picture on a lot of this. And
yeah.
I, you know, I guess I could
yeah.
say a lawyer probably might have that same issue, you know, like, oh, well, I'm only known for being a lawyer, even though, you know, I have all these
right.
other things I do too. So I get it, but I think the fact that, like, and I think even VA would be a little bit with this, which it just has a tiny tinge of not so professional or,
mm-hmm.
like, below, I don't know, I think that's what I think irritates me. And I would rather, I prefer like mom blog or something like that over mommy blog, because I think that just pigeonholes you to just like, you know, just kind of a stereotype that's even crazier than it has to be.
I know, and that's why I wonder, because it is a term it's out there. It's out there big.
Yeah.
So why not capitalize on it? I mean,
yeah,
that's what
no,
people are looking
do.
For. You can't, you know. You maybe can do some re-education, say, look, that's not all we are. But if that's how they're finding you, God bless them.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't argue with
I'm
it.
I'm cool.
That's exactly right.
You're not going to bite the hand that feeds you. So.
No. So you're working out of your home. You're raising
mm-hmm.
children. Your wife,
yes.
your mother. You're also an entrepreneur. I love this story. I love it. So what led you, and you're not techie. Are you techie now?
Well, I'm definitely more techie.
Okay, good.
And, yeah, but, I mean, just because out of necessity, I think, like, anybody who, you know, has hacked their way through being online the last 7 years, 8 years, knows that, you know, you have to go out. I mean, if you look at all of the millions of things I've Googled, you just die laughing because, you know, you're in the middle of the night and you're like, I need to Google the most ridiculous thing. How do I do this? You know?
Oh, listen, I was up at 4:18 this morning trying to figure out how to fix my French doors.
There you go.
The bottom of them. I have
sure there's a YouTube
doors
channel devoted to that.
They're starting to rust a little bit at the bottom. I thought, okay, I don't want them to completely rust. So I need to know step by step, how do I fix this and prevent the rot? So 3:18, 4:18, whatever it was, I'm in here looking for fix French doors. Oh, good.
Yeah, exactly.
But
rust
I found
on French
it.
Doors,
I know what
bottom.
To do now.
Yeah.
I now know what to do. I can do it myself. I don't need to hire anyone. Okay, so let's, and that's what the internet's all about. I mean, it's
yeah.
where
amazing.
People can find us, they can find information, they can connect with us. So once you started, and I'm sure your website has gone through probably several different incarnations, I'm willing to bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's as it should be.
Yes, absolutely.
Don't build it and forget it. You've got to keep moving along with it. So how did you eventually, because I know you built other businesses. I mean, you
yeah.
at some point decided that you needed multiple income streams because, let's face it, doing what you do, doing what I do, unless you're a high-functioning workaholic with no children
right.
and you don't mind working around the clock, it's not doable. So how did you decide to have that work-life balance and make money at the same time? Because I think that's what our audience really wants to know. I think they want to go down that journey with you.
Yeah, and, you know, in your early years, it was I completely identify with your serial entrepreneur. You know, that I always feel like I'm, like, above average at a lot of things and not great at any one thing, and which is an absolutely wonderful thing to be in 2014, because there are so many things you can do, and you can explore these 70,000 passions you have to the fullest, quite honestly. So many of the projects I took on in the early years I didn't even think about money. You know, this was a volunteer job for me. It was my hobby, just like if I had picked up tennis or something like that, and a little less exercise. But so, like, I was just pursuing, like, what I thought, like, I want to, you know, like, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to make a video, I want, you know, like, everything that popped into my head, you know, you could do. I mean, it's just amazing. And so, you know, I want to learn photography, which is very helpful online these days. And so I just followed my passions. And at one point, I had 5 websites. And, you know, and that's when like the workaholic, and then like, am I really like, do I really need this? Like, let's, you know, only one of them, actually two of them were making money at that time. The other ones were breaking even. I always feel good about never like taking money out of my family, but I wasn't putting much in at that time. And so that's when I really reevaluated. I said, I need to figure out a way to make this, like, in order for my passions to be sustainable, it needs to make some money. You know, I'm done messing around, or, you know, making this a hobby. Like, you know, I can do this. And so that's when I sold one of the websites and I rolled the two others into Kids Activities Blog. And I also run a company called Business the Blogger that matches bloggers with businesses that want bloggers to write about them. So those are the two that I still have today. And that's when really magical things happen, because instead of my like passions being split into five different directions, I really was able to sit down and do what I thought needed to happen on Kids Activities Blog. And I'm not the craftiest person in the world, so like that was a good niche for me, because it didn't have to be perfect. I didn't have to be Martha Stewart. You know, we really concentrate on things you can do with your kids, with stuff you already have at home, and it doesn't have to be beautiful. It's more about like the experience and just the kids having fun and family time and stuff like that. So that really helped me, you know, kind of, that was something I could do with my children. And, you know, our family time became, you know, pictures on the internet and activities on the internet, and I homeschool. So some of those lessons became, you know, posts on my website, and it really, it had been growing, but it really, really took off. And that, and then, you know, got contacted by a publisher. And, you know, our book, my blogging partner, Rachel Miller, and I wrote that, I guess it's been a summer and a half ago. So the 101 Kids Activities Are the Bestest, Funnest Ever was published last spring. And, you know, just things that I would never have known to put on my bucket list have happened, you know, just because you follow what you love and let, you know, and say yes to opportunities that are interesting to me.
Exactly. And again, the timing was right for you. I mean, the timing couldn't have been better. If you tried to do something like this now, there's no question you can do it, but not with the ease that it happened to you. I promise you. You know, I live on the internet. The internet, by the way, God created the internet for me. I just share it with y'all.
There you
just
go.
So you know.
Thank you.
mine. Because I knew, I mean, back before there even was an internet that was available to the public, that I knew in my gut that I was going to make a living, and a very good living, with a computer. And my very first computer was a $3,000 boat anchor. It didn't do a darn thing. It just didn't.
I know,
it was
pretty funny when you look back.
I know, but I had to have it. But, you know, when these things start to break, all of a sudden you're like, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm poised for massive growth, and this can really be a lot of fun. So how did you take it from just being you, and when did your blogging partner come into play? Because I've looked at what you do, and it's tough for any one person to do that. So that leads me to my next question, which is your blogging partner, and do you have a team? Did you eventually build a team to help you do some of this stuff?
Yeah, so actually my blogging partner came about just because of my connections. And back then I ran DFW Bloggers. So I was doing local blogger events for bloggers here in the Dallas area. And I had run across Rachel Miller once or twice, and we realized that we lived only 15 minutes apart. So she had a site called Quirky Mama that I just loved. I thought it was super cute, just, you know, simple little things to do with your kids. And so she invited me over with my kids to just for a play date. And she has had four kids at that time. And we were just sitting in her kitchen. I mean, I had been there probably 5 minutes. And this is what I love about Rachel, because she's so direct. And she just, like, out of her mouth came, I think I need to sell my website. And before I even thought about it, I said, I think I need to buy your website.
Oh, my.
And what was happening in her life was that she and her husband were raising money to adopt two babies from Ethiopia. And so she thought, you know, I could Quirky Mama up to a point where I could sell it. And she, you know, she, or the website, you know how this is you know, she started to blog because she liked to blog, and then all of a sudden the website had grown to where she needed, you know, it was a business, and she didn't have time or energy or even the desire to run a business. She just wanted to write, and I'm like, you know, I was less about the writing and more about the game, like, you know, let's you know, figure out this game, let's win at this game kind of thing. So it was really a match made in heaven, because she, you know, so I bought her website. I rebranded it to Kids Activities Blog because I wanted, you know, to change the SEO on it. And we've worked together ever since. You know, like those first few months she had the babies back, you know, she didn't work at all. And then when she has time, she writes, which is amazing because her content is just out of this world. And I get to run things and, you know, and get to promote her amazing content. And so in the early years, it was me and her and I, you know, a few friends that I knew locally here would contribute here and there. And I would try to, you know, scrape together $25 to pay them for a post and that kind of stuff. And then it was really about a year ago, I made a commitment to go out and find the best contributors I could find and pay them a comparable what they would be making at, like, you know, if you're writing for a Disney site or something like that, and just see if I could create, like, content like you would find on one of those big sites. And that first month, I will have to admit to, you know, being a little nervous and spending a little time up at night worried about what I had gotten myself into. And
seen dollar signs in my head.
Yeah, because I'm a big dreamer, and I, you know, I was like, you know, and then in the middle of the night, you're like, why do I think I can do this? Like, you know, why me? Why? And you know what? It was fine. That first month, you know, was a little scary, but we did it. And that next month, the site had grown so much that it was a no brainer. And, you know, and it's grown every month since. You know, in the summer, it's leveled off at just an amazing, you know, amazing amount of traffic that, you know, is more than self-supporting of the contributors. And now, you know, I have a managing editor now that I was able to make a commitment to someone that says, yes, I can provide a full-time job for you. And that's a whole other thing. So now we have, you know, basically there's three of us that work on it full time, and then we have 20 contributors that we, you know, do anything from, you know, 1 to 12 posts per month.
Now, how do you make money out of it, though? I mean, I think I know, but I would like our audience.
Yeah. So my goal has always been passive income. You know, if you look at the sidebar ads on the site, those are highly optimized. We run about 12 ad networks through those, so that anytime you're on my site, you're seeing the ad that's going to pay me the most, and obviously within the family-friendly space, because we don't want to make people mad. But so that's been a big, you know, that's been a big, obviously a big learning experience on how to do that. And then we do a fair amount of affiliate sales. For us, our wheelhouse is Amazon. I think one of the reasons for that is because we're talking to moms who need convenience at home. Amazon has good prices, and then I think Amazon does an amazing job of talking you into 6 other things when you arrive first one thing.
Oh, yeah. I love Amazon. It's
yeah.
The minute, and I've told people because I'm an introvert and I don't really like to get out and about. So I've always sworn that the minute I can get fresh crawfish and fresh lettuce delivered to my door, I'm selling my car. I'm done.
There you go. I know. So,
I love,
you know, we
Amazon.
Do that. And then because of the size of our site, we get a large amount of sponsored opportunities or blog ambassadorships, spokesperson, that type of thing. And the good news about all of that is that we're at a level where I can, you know, I'm not dependent on any of that. I can turn down what doesn't fit, which is always a good idea, no matter what stage you are at in a blog, is don't ever write what doesn't fit, because you always want your readers to know what to expect when they show up that day. And so we're able to find amazing sponsors that just fit our niche and allow us to just write super creative posts on their behalf. And, you know, a lot of times I, you know, my favorite posts are our sponsored posts because we put so much time and effort trying to make sure that it's a perfect fit for what we do. So those are the revenue streams. And then I do some social media, you know, consulting and that type of thing. But really my goal has been to get the site, you know, to support itself and support me and all that we've built. And it's just, it's been an amazing journey. And I literally was last night with my managing editor and Rachel, and we were just sitting there and we're like, you know, we just want to pinch ourselves. Like we you know, they both were teachers before, and now they're able to be home doing what they like. They don't have to, like, in their pajamas if they want. Rachel homeschooled her kids. And we're able to do it from our home and make more money than we could in our normal, you know, our normal jobs.
I love that story. And I'm just so glad that you're sharing it. That one of the things that I really, really love is that you were just able to take it and organically grow it. Just, you know, kind of, well, I'll tell you what I really love. Let me back up. And you said something so smart, and this goes to anybody, virtual assistants, web developers. You just don't put content on your page or accept jobs or clients that are just not a good fit. It does not end well. It's a terrible thing to do.
And then
we're
you
both
hate
speaking
yourself.
From experience. Yes, right.
Yeah. Don't
you
hate
don't
yourself.
Respect yourself.
Just don't do it. Yeah.
I know, exactly. Now, let's go back to your multiple income streams, because I understand the ad space. Affiliates, you know, that's Amazon. Sponsored posts, I definitely get that. Tell our audience what an ambassadorship is.
So, for instance, like this year I'm working with Invisalign, you know, the clear braces. And
the teeth,
I'm actually wearing them this year. I had braces as a teenager, but as I got older, my teeth shifted, and all of a sudden I'm a 44-year-old woman who needs braces. And so when I found Invisalign, I was like, oh, my goodness, I could just hug you. And the cool thing is it works so good for our audience because I'm a mom with them, and then one of my kids is going to have them next year as a second level where he had traditional braces for his first level. And so I can tell that story in a way that makes sense, you know.
Right,
like,
and you're authentic about it.
Oh, yeah,
right.
And I mean, like, I will stop people on the street and tell them how much I love them. And it's not because, you know, I'm getting free treatment, which I am. It's because I actually sought them out when I saw that they were a sponsor at one of the blog conferences. I, like, stalked them until they would have a meeting with me, you know, and it's that type of, like, when you run into a company, like, you know, your favorite products or the things that you just adore, like, those are the people that you need to be working with because it's effortless. Like, you don't have to think a thing, you know, or ever feel like that you're in a position of where you're being salesy. And that's really what you want to find. So that's like a blog ambassadorship. I also recently did a series of webisodes for Frigidaire Electrolux. And so they came to my house with a full film crew, which was a little daunting. And, you know, and did these little mini episodes that aren't quite up on the Frigidaire website yet, but will be soon. And just an amazing opportunity for me and my children to be involved in something much bigger than we could do on our own for my little blog, you know. So those are, I mean, it's just like, it's like you can't even dream these things up. Like, it's just an amazing, you know, what's out there and what people are pulling together using bloggers and or social media experts or people on Twitter or Instagram. Like, you know, you hone the craft that calls to you because there's opportunity there.
Right. And, you know, I have to tell you, one of my favorite books for business building is a friend of mine, but her name is Meredith Elliott Powell, and she wrote this fantastic book called Winning in the Trust and Value Economy. And everything that you're talking about right now is because you're in the trust and value economy. People know you. They like you. They trust you. They've been following you. Started back with your hairdresser. You were their little Goodwill ambassador out there, whether you knew it or not. They responded in kind. They were very appreciative of your efforts, and that launched you, you know, in a slightly different direction. So anytime look, we're all living. We're all walking, breathing, talking. Take advantage of everything that's happening to you during the day and find a way to share it with people, become a resource with people, or monetize it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you've done, and I think that'd be brilliant.
Have been doing this for so, I mean, I always felt like even like in high school, like I was a networker. I wasn't, you know, like I never was in a clique. I was like the floater between the cliques kind of thing, you know, and when I was a young mom, well, I wasn't that young, but I, you know, when my kids were young, when people needed a babysitter, well, call Holly. She probably knows someone, you know, so it's always been my role. And so it's been
your
really
connector.
Funny. Yeah. So once I just said, I need to make sure that whatever I'm doing online is still that role, because I obviously, you know, I must be good at it and I love it. And so how can I make that my job? Because it's what I love. It's what I would do all day. You know, like one of my favorite jobs in all the world was a receptionist. I loved being a receptionist. Like, you are the gateway to like the world when you're a receptionist. But you know what the funny thing about that is like the receptionist is probably the lowest paid employee in that whole building, yet they hold the keys to the entire building.
Right. They're the face of the business.
So, and don't lose that sight when you're running your own business. Like, don't put your lowest paid employee out on the front line. Whatever you're representing needs to be represented on that front line. I think that's what's so fun about running your own company and doing it your way and really seeing the vision of where things are going based on your passions and what you want to do and what's fun for you, so it's never a job.
Oh, no, I agree with you. Listen, how do you find sites where you, I want you to get, I'm stuttering today, I'm sorry, it's Halloween. I'm out of my mind. I've got, my brain is going zzz, zzz, zzz.
I love it.
There's no connection right now between my brain and my mouth, just so you all know. But you decide, on the early days, how did you decide to go, okay, I'm going to contribute to other blogs, other than my kind of mommy friend bloggers? Because I know that you branched out quite a bit.
Yeah, so I think that's such an important, I think it all started for me. Like, I had been doing some guest posting, and I really feel like another blogger early on, her name is Allison Worthington, and she now does social media consulting and stuff like that. I don't even think she has a blog anymore. She may write for Babbel, I guess. But she gave me what I thought was just a huge break, where she was going on vacation and she had a large audience on her blog, and she allowed me to guest post. And I really feel like that was a turning point for me, as you know, not only my traffic, but to be known in the blogging community as somebody, you know, that, you know, like Allison would have let me guest post. I don't know. It was like a lot of faith to hand over somebody's blog to you. You know, that's that responsibility. And so I've always guest posted, you know, and I always try to guest post my best stuff. Like, you want your best stuff on other people's sites, because that's, you know, that's blur going to trip across you that have never found you before. And then when Disney started Spoonful, I guess it was about two and a half years ago, I was one of the first bloggers that they asked to do that. And it was, you know, which was a good fit for me, because it was kids' activities and crafts, easy crafts and stuff like that. You know, to be honest, it wasn't for the money, except that the money could help me fund some of these things I wanted to do on my own blog. And so I literally felt like that was an investment in not only links and exposure on a Disney, and like the credibility of Disney, that, you know, I'm one of the founding bloggers on one of these big Disney sites, but also that money could then come back to my blog and support maybe a project, a coding project or a advertising project, or to hire someone to help me, you know, run X, Y, and Z. And that is really why I did it. And that, you know, I think that commitment to really looking at my blog as a business instead of just a hobby, and thinking this could be a building block to something bigger, even though it's going to be a heck of a lot of work. I mean, I was posting 12 things a month on Spoonful. And when you consider that I post twice a day on my own blog, that's a pretty big commitment. It's a lot of content. So, you know, but like you have to take chances every once in a while, and that just seemed like one that was a no-brainer for me.
Now, when did this happen, the Disney thing?
That was about 2.5 years ago, and I wrote for them as long as the site actually, when Disney Digital, when they fired a lot of the Disney Digital people last spring is when Spoonful actually went away, which is really, really sad. Like, just an incredible amount of content that just is there no longer, and all those broken links and such. But,
oh, no.
But a lot of my contributors are the ones that were at Disney. And that was one of those things when I said, you know, if Disney's not going to do this, I am. I don't know why I felt like I could do what Disney couldn't do. But
well, why not?
So
Disney did it. Well, were you able to take that information that you had posted there and repurpose it for your own blog? Because it's now gone.
Yeah, it's all gone now. And we didn't know for a while what was going to happen with that content. Our editors were there one day and gone the next. And so it was a really crazy situation where we weren't exactly sure what was going on and if they were going to repurpose it on, you know, another site. And so we've been kind of just waiting. Obviously, we did copy all that out, all of my content out, so that if it isn't anywhere, that it will be someday.
Good.
Yeah.
I'd be curious to know. Keep me posted on what happens with that. And that's a shame.
Yeah, it really is the cutest little site, too. And, I mean, it generated a lot of traffic for them from what I could tell externally. So it was just, you know, one of those things that, you know, you just scratch your head sometimes and wonder what happened behind the scenes that we weren't privy to.
Absolutely. Well, listen, if you don't mind, we've got about 8 minutes left, and I would love for you to walk our audience through what your day kind of looks like. I mean, you said that you blogged twice, and you've got this massive growth on your Facebook page, Quirky Mama.
Yeah.
Tell us about that, because, I mean, when I saw that, those stats, I just went, what? So share that story, if you don't mind.
I don't mind at all, and I'll briefly tell you, I get up very early, and I work for an hour or two before my kids get up, and then they go to school Monday, Wednesday, Friday, so I have office hours on those days, and then, in the evening, I'm playing catch-up a little bit as well, so it's one of those things that I wish I could get those office hours a little bit tailored down, but right now, it's just not possible, but luckily, my husband's very supportive of what I'm doing right now, but so it's a little crazy, you know, when you don't have separation of home and work. But when, you know, with help now, it's been a lot easier. And so, the Facebook page. So last October, we had 13,000 fans on Quirky Mama, which is our Facebook page, because that was the original name of the website. And it's Quirky Mama, MOMMA. And we had the book coming out in the spring, and so I mentioned Rachel, my partner's a little crazy sometimes, and she said to me in October, we're going to get to 50,000 Facebook fans by Christmas. And I just nodded and smiled because she comes up with these grand ideas every once in a while, and I'm always like, I will support whatever you think. And, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I love that she's this crazy, that she thinks we can do this. And so we started doing some research and, you know, just following some, you know, the advice that was around and realizing that most of the advice that was out there just didn't work for our page and coming up with our own stuff. And we're both, like, obsessed with analytics, and the Facebook insights are amazing, and you can learn so much. Like, Facebook basically tells you, hey, this is what we like. Do more of it. You know, so we really just listened to Facebook and did our own thing. And what we were doing was so different than anybody else, and what we were doing was so opposite of what every social media guru had ever said. And, you know, we were finding, like, our, you know, viral content and sharing it multiple times a day. And it wasn't just our content. In fact, we only share about a third of the posts that go on our Facebook page are our own. And about a third of what we do is what I would consider page builders or things that would cause interaction with your fans. So like a question or maybe a funny infographic or Or like, believe it or not, our crazy affiliate products through Amazon get so many comments that they're basically page builders for us. And really the key has been to get that talking about number up. Because in my opinion,
the engagement
Facebook,
number.
Yeah, Facebook.
So when people
only
are actually
looks,
engaging.
Yeah, only looks
okay.
at how many people are actually engaged on your page as a value of your page. So if you have a million Facebook fans but a talking about number of 2,000, Facebook's looking at you saying, you have an audience of 2,000. We're going to show this to 10 of them today. So
Facebook has
really
bothered a lot of people with that. So, but yeah, I know where you're going with it.
So we just, you know, we basically did what was working and kept doing more of what was working. We hit 50,000 at Christmas, and today I was really, really hoping to hit a million, but we're about 10,000 shy of that right now. So I don't think it's going to happen today, but it will definitely happen tomorrow. But I was hoping for
today.
Well,
I just liked you. How
oh, good.
How far
yeah,
shy
send a few,
are you?
Send like 9,999 of your closest friends over there.
I will do what I can.
But yeah, I mean, but the fact that I'm saying, like, I'm complaining about hitting a million fans tomorrow is just really just gives me goosebumps. And the fact that this we've done this, you know, not as experts, but just as experts in what our fans like and what has worked for us, and doing our own thing and not listening to a lot of other people or doubting ourselves or worrying about there's literally 300 people a day on like our page. 300 people. So you think if we were worried about those 300 people, we would never be growing.
No,
it
would paralyze you.
Yeah,
it would. It would absolutely paralyze you. Wow.
So
it's
been a crazy journey.
Well, and that leads me back to my other question. Do you have a team, a social media team, or is this something that you and your partners do? How does this work?
Yeah. So, Facebook's like, you know, Facebook's kind of like the baby that we can't let the sitter sit. So Rachel and Jamie Harrington, who writes Totally the Bomb, is my managing editor. So the three of us, we, you know, people are like, well, why would you need a team for your Facebook page? But we post about 20, maybe 26 times a day. So that's like we're running an editorial calendar for our Facebook page that would just blows our editorial calendar for our blog away, because we basically program it, and we program it based on what's worked for us in the past. And, you know, all of this has been through trial and error, and then at the end of the day we'll go through and see what worked today. Because, you know, Facebook, you know, yesterday or the day before, they changed some major thing.
They changed.
And, and what worked on you know, last Saturday is not working today. So and that's one thing I would caution people who are running a small business is you need to find somebody on that front line you trust, and you give them the ability to make decisions on a split second based on what they're saying. Because these companies that are now going back to a boardroom 3 weeks later to talk about Facebook and then going through legal, they are going to be farther and farther and farther behind the rest of us, because you need to be able to be quick and adapt and make changes and test things out and fail. You have to give people the ability to fail. Because we never would have gotten where we were if we weren't able to test things out, like, let's test this, let's test this, let's test this. You know, oh, that was crappy. Let's try it again. Let's try it again with this. You know, like, you just have to have that ability, or you're just not going to get where your potential goes.
Well, and that's where we really have the upper edge, is because we can be agile.
Yeah.
We're paying attention. We can get in a split second and go, like you said, oh, well, crud, that didn't work.
Yeah,
let's try this,
right,
and
woo,
that one worked. Bet it won't work again tomorrow, but it worked today, by golly.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And don't throw the baby out with the bathwater ever.
I know. I mean, sometimes you want to, but no,
yeah.
Don't do that.
Facebook will change its mind tomorrow, and it'll work.
I know. One last question. We've got about a minute left. I mean, you've been fascinating. I really need you to come back again, and you know, maybe in the spring or something.
I would love
because
that.
Because I know you you do help other people with what you're doing, and I think there's a lot of information that I would like for you to share with our audience. If you don't mind, I would love for you to come back.
That would be great. I would love it.
Love it. Okay, so how, this is the big question, how can you not be, because look, I'm a high-functioning workaholic. I don't sleep a whole lot. I catnap. I think you're probably the same.
Yes.
How do you resist the urge to be online 24 hours a day? I mean, like you say, we have these shiny objects. There's always something new to try. You know, I'm building websites at 3:15 in the morning.
Right.
I have been known to jump naked out of the shower, run across the house, and buy a domain name. So,
oh, yeah. I think
we
all have that GoDaddy app on our phone is very dangerous. You're at the grocery store and like,
God.
Oh, I have the perfect URL, and you can purchase it right then and there.
I know. I mean, you mentioned Disneyland. A lot of people like to go to Disneyland. GoDaddy is my Disneyland. That's
yeah.
where I go on vacation.
I say I have more URLs than shoes, and I have a lot of shoes.
I do, too. All right, so how do you kind of scale it back? Because I have to be honest with you, this is a personal question, because I can't do it, so I need some help. I need an intervention, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's really, really hard. And I think there's 100 ways I could be better at it. It's an effort we have to make every day. But there's certain things that I don't do in certain, I don't do email on my phone. I know that sounds crazy in 2014. I do not do email.
No, I don't
on the
either.
Phone. So I do it only on my desktop, and I try to only do it once or twice a day. What I do on my phone is Instagram. So if I have my phone in my hand, I might do Instagram. But I can't schedule my Facebook page from my phone. So that's also something that I set aside a time every day. And I think that's really where you have to avoid that like never ending rabbit hole. And when I'm on Facebook, like I know nothing about what my friends are doing. Like my mom knows more about my friends and the babies they've had and all that kind of stuff because she's on Facebook for Facebook. I'm not on Facebook for Facebook. Facebook is work for me. I go in, I do my work, I leave. Same thing with Pinterest. I know that sounds like, blasphemy, but Pinterest, from day one has been more about like, how
it's
do I
a marketing
date them?
Tool.
Yeah.
Right. It's strictly a marketing tool.
Everything I pin is for a reason, and that isn't all to the glory of Holly. It's, to the glory of everything amazing I find online, and hopefully people will say, oh, my gosh, she finds the greatest stuff. So, but you really have to be careful about drawing those boundaries, and it's really, really hard, with kids in the house. So on the homeschool days, I try to have no calls during those days. I might pop in and check my email after I read something, and that's really the challenge is because I don't want to be not present for my children's childhood because I'm sitting around writing about childhood.
The irony.
It's so easy. You know how easy it is to, because online is happy and, like, there's no problems. Or if there was drama, you could just, like, delete it and go somewhere else.
You block them.
Whereas, like, at home, like, people are unhappy and hungry. And, you have to setting a timer for yourself is often what I need to do. Or saying, Mobby's going to stop work at, 5 p.m. today. I'm so sorry I have to work for the next hour or two, but at 5 p.m. I'm quitting. And really my evenings, I don't work. Like I will come in and oftentimes maybe do 30 minutes of Facebook scheduling maybe in the evening, but the rest of the evening I really try not to be that mom on the computer. There's obviously some days when my husband understands, like, honey, I'm so sorry, can you do something because I have the X, Y, and Z going on. But what we're building here is for our whole family, and so he understands that. What I'm building and what he's allowing, what he is a part of, because he now does help me on quite a few of these things, is that this will be life-changing for our family. And so, I love my kids, because they've been a blogger's kids as long as they can remember. And in the early years, it was just a blogger, it was a hobby. And so, my son said the other day, I said, Mom, you're on the computer a lot. you know, and I said, you know, my husband also works from home on the computer. He's a radiologist, and he has a 10-hour shift. And I said, I know, Ryan, you know, I know I'm on the computer a lot, but I work on the computer just like Daddy does, you know, and Daddy does a 10-hour shift, and nobody in this family has ever said, oh, Dad's on the computer all the time. Like, that wouldn't
right.
have even occurred to you. And I said, you know, this is Mommy's job. And he said, he kind of made, you know, a derogatory remark. He's 13, so, like, we have to cut him a break here.
Right.
He's like, yeah, but you're, you know, that's, you know, it's not a real job. And my husband came in and he said, I don't think you understand what your mother's doing. Your mother is changing this family's life with what's happening here. So, like, I might go punch a clock, but what your mother does is, you know, is something beyond that. And I just thought that was, like, an amazing conversation that we had spontaneously in front of a child, because it's true, like we have to remember that we don't have to sit down and tweet right this second because we have children present. But on the other hand, we have to structure our lives in a way that allow us to do this, because what we're doing is life-changing.
And I agree with you. And listen, I work with a lot of virtual assistants. I coach them. I mentor them. So I have a lot of them on my team. And this is a big, big question in their families, because people simply do not understand. People who work from home, and I know you've mm-hmm. had this happen, people think it's okay to interrupt you at any old time.
Right.
Well, you're just, you know, you don't have a job. You're working from home. Honey, we work. We probably work much, much harder than people with, you know, 9-to-5 jobs. In fact,
and longer
I know
hours.
We do.
Yeah.
Longer
I mean,
hours.
Yeah.
And we have to self-educate, and we have to fund a lot of what we're doing.
Right.
And to me, it's, you really do need to educate, and I'm so glad your husband had that talk with your son. You really do need to educate people as to what it is that you do and why you're doing it and why it is so very important. And it's not just a hobby, or it's not just you scrolling around on Google and YouTube. You're actually
right.
creating a lifestyle. So what a great conversation.
Yeah, and I think the support of, you know, the people who you're stealing time from is really, really important, because, like, if they understand, you know, like, this is an investment. I'm taking this amount of time that we could go and do X, Y, and Z, or, you know, play this together. This is why. And when that is a conversation you're having, and when that's a tape that's playing in your head, then a lot of times you can say, no, you know, I don't really need to pin those 20 things right now. I need to go play Monopoly with my kid. You know, like,
mm-hmm.
It can run the other direction. And I think that's where we really, really, you know, we need to, when we're in the car, we need to put the phone down, you know, like, even if we're in the passenger
yeah.
seat, put the phone
yeah.
down and have those conversations, and have just spontaneous conversations. When we're at the dinner table, like, there's no tech. I mean, we have to protect ourselves from our work, because it will invade at any moment.
Oh, absolutely. I have a longstanding rule. The holidays are coming up, so this is kind of on my mind, but I have a longstanding rule that when you come into my house as a guest, whether it's Thanksgiving dinner or tonight, you know, we're having the annual Halloween massacre with body part stew, which is really gumbo, but
nice.
It's body part stew. That's what we're calling it.
Awesome.
And people, when they're coming in my house, they know darn good and well they better have everything off. Don't bring a tablet in. Turn your phones off. Because I will make them stop. Look, you're here to visit. I cooked. Pay attention. Put
right.
it down. You're here to visit. And I get mean about it. Yeah. Well, I almost get mean about it one Thanksgiving, and boy, after that, people are like, turn them off. It's like going into a theater, turn off your phones.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
You're going
don't,
to Denise's
don't
house.
Wake the bear.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. But, I mean, you do have to have those, you know, those kind of boundaries, you know, that
mm-hmm.
you just don't allow family to be ignored because you're working, but you also can't ignore your work because of family. You have to find those, you know, those happy mediums, those happy boundaries, and, you know, it's a constant effort. I know it is, but you have
it
to
is.
Do it.
It is a battle, and you think, you know, and then every once in a while you have to tell, you know, you have to have that conversation with yourself. Like, I would never, ever ask an employee of mine to do what I've just put myself through. Like, you know, maybe.
Well, you
maybe,
can't pay them to do it.
Yeah,
you can't
well,
afford
and maybe
it.
You just need to, you know, back off. Like, we do not have to conquer the internet today. Like, it will be there tomorrow. But and that goes back to my complete philosophy. As long as you've taken baby steps every single day in the direction of where you want to head, that's what you want to do. Because there may be times, and like, for instance, we will have, you know, my goal is to have our entire everything scheduled through December so that I can, you know, so that we can all enjoy our family through Christmas with,
holiday,
you know, stopping
right.
by the internet for maybe 20 minutes a day, if that,
mm-hmm.
you know, one of us.
Yeah,
and
in
so
the process, the same.
You have
yep.
to plan ahead because you are the boss, and you have to let yourself have a vacation. I mean, like, it's the only job in the world we expect we can't take a vacation from. That's ridiculous. Like, there's all sorts of automated things that we can actually step away because we use them.
Again, it's that high-functioning workaholic thing, though.
Yeah.
We know we can automate
something.
It's a personality issue. So
yeah.
It's psychological.
It is. But
listen,
it's fun.
Holly, thank you so much. I mean, you've been such a great guest, and I really, really want you to come back.
That sounds fabulous. We'll do it.
Well,
thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for being with me here today. You gave our audience a great glimpse into your life and your systems, and I love your story, and I know they appreciate it all as much as I do. And for our audience, the show will be available for download in about an hour, and you can also find us in iTunes, and we want to wish you a happy and safe Halloween. And just look for us in iTunes. Type in our names, Denise Griffiths and Holly Homer, and I will see you next week. Holly, thank you, and have a fantastic Halloween.
All right. Happy Halloween, everyone. Bye.
Thank you.
You
thank
can
you.
Find Denise Griffiths at your office on the web.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on your Partner in Success Radio.